X-12, number 2A.
Now we can fathom what the implications were at the time of the turning of the century, that is at the time when Mrs. Eddy left us and couldn't witness anymore what was happening with her leaven that she put into human thought. That at that moment when one began to discover, so to say, the soul of man, the psyche of man, so that no more just the mechanical process in the body were the only thing that were under diagnosis in the medical faculty, but when the psyche of man had to be taken in, that medical science stood before a very great crossroad, because the old sense of medicine was based on the laws of measurable and weighable factors of matter, and now came in unseen, unmeasurable, unweighable factors, psychological factors. With this amalgamation, so to say, of those two strains of matter and soul, or of body and soul, came in the discovery, what they say, that soul and body are unity. That if we can't know the body, if we don't know soul. And that already has a tone which we find in the textbook, that if we don't know anything about soul, God with a capital S, we certainly don't know much about the body. Here on a lower plane, they begin to realize that soul and body are no two things, but that the body is just one manifestation of the soul, that it is the material, so-called manifestation of the soul, but that it isn't anymore two different things which are linked together by the law of causality. So that change in the psyche is a change at the same time of the body. So that that no distinction can be any more be made neither between the healing of functional and organic disease, nor can a distinction be made between soul and body as two units. This has come out rather clearly when they have seen that the animals have the same organic structure as men, and yet that animals have fewer diseases as humans. So that because humans have a different kind of soul, humans also have different kinds of diseases. They call them anthropomorphic diseases. The typical human diseases. From that point on, they began to realize that they must find something which therefore is going to rule the soul, not so much the body. As they see the unity between soul and body, they see we must find something which is higher than the soul of man, the psyche of man. And so they began to discover spirit, so to say. And that's the point at which we are, at which medical science is at the present moment. That they begin to realize that there must be also be a power ruling the soul of man, the mentality of man, and that reason alone can't do that, that reason is not strong enough to control the soul. Because reason only applies to rational laws of causality, whereas the whole of man is a much bigger thing, that man comprises also metaphysical ideas, emotions, and feelings, and so on, that all that build up the soul of man, so that alone rational thinking is no more adequate enough to control the soul. And so they see that therefore there must be something higher than the mind or psyche of men. And so they are forced to accept what they call the existence of spirit. And naturally this would be the link where we see that the revolution that still has to come is to see that we have to transplant or to relate everything into God truth. Therefore, they speak, so to say, of a hierarchy which exists between spirit, soul, and body. Soul, not capital S, psyche, mentality. And they begin to see what naturally the textbook is showing in hundreds and hundreds of ways, that body is the manifestation of an inward consciousness, the psyche, the soul of man, and that the soul of man can be controlled by a higher principle, namely by spirit. So that you have on the top of your hierarchy, so to say, spirit, God, which is projecting itself and translating itself to the plane of human consciousness, forming our inward attitude, and that inward attitude is showing forth itself on the body. But when they have touched that, naturally they only just touch it at the present moment, but they can see what will happen. Namely, they can see something which is most interesting. They say, but spirit is timeless. And if we get hold of spirit which is timeless, then healing must be timeless, must be instantaneous. So what we are looking forward now is to see how to find the nature of spirit, God. And in doing that, they know already beforehand that if they find that they find the real cause of disease, the real healing agent for disease, and they know that it will be instantaneous, that it will be just as in Jesus' time. And therefore, the advanced section, or what you can say, of psychosomatic medicine is called, according to the French doctor, la médecine de la personne. That is the medicine of the person, personal medicine. He took that title, médecine de la personne, because he began to see that in the Bible he would find the true sense of man. And so these medical people, which have their associates in Holland, in Germany, also in England, and so on, they begin now to investigate the Bible, not for religious education, edification, but to find, so to say, the nature of man and the nature of spirit, the spiritual nature of man. And so slowly you can see how it comes back that the medical man, the doctor, and the priest unite again into one person, just as we started out today in the magic age, where the witch doctor united in one person also the priesthood and the medical profession. So that's where we stand, so to say, today. But I wanted to show you this so as to see that this leaven of truth is actually constantly at work in the very direction, that Mrs. Eddy foresaw it. Because in this chapter on science, theology, and medicine, we always could see how she would show that truth translates drugs out of itself back into the remedy of truth. So that the belief in a healing power in matter is first translated into thought or into mortal consciousness, into belief, and from belief back into the understanding of spirit. Now, naturally, when I present this subject like I do, we must be aware that not every doctor in the land will agree yet with it. That's quite true, that it is always the spearhead in a science that go forward and they gather around themselves a few of the forward-thinking people. And so we mustn't think that already today every doctor has the same attitude. He's not trained in it. He wouldn't even know how to deal perhaps psychologically with a patient. But nevertheless, the signs are here. And the signs are so tremendous in importance that medical science speaks of a crisis. That they see that whole medical science is going through a great crisis. That crisis is the same crisis as all other sciences are going through. Namely, that they begin to find out that the material mechanism of a body doesn't make up man. That man is a much bigger proposition than just body. That there are other factors to be considered, like psychological factor, emotional factor, ethical factors, metaphysical factors, spiritual factors. What then is the crisis that comes up in front of them? Namely, that they begin to see that they can't treat a patient against his inward attitude. That if a patient has no trust in a certain treatment, that it is no use to try out that treatment on him. You know, in the text we are going to take this weekend, Mrs. Eddy would show that too, that so often doctors will take to a treatment which is against the wish and the will of a patient, and that then it doesn't work, that it makes only the situation worse. What they are finding out is that they are really running into a dead end, because they have now built up a wonderful methods and instruments for diagnosis. They put so much value in being able to diagnose a case rightly. And then they say, when we have diagnosed it rightly, according to our scientific knowledge and whatever we have found out and so on, then we prescribe the treatment from the patient. And then afterwards we know that the patient reacts anyway only on the magical plane of thought to that treatment. So they say, oh, therefore, all our endeavors are in vain. He reacts on a different level than what we present to him. Can you see that?
Yes.
You see what they say? The whole medical science, which has put in so many millions of dollars in finding out how to be able to diagnose better and so on, and they do that on a purely materialistic basis. And afterwards, the patient reacts not on that basis, but on the belief basis. So that they say, what's the use of it? We could have done just something else which has no sense at all in it, because the patient reacts anyway on his belief basis. And so they begin to realize that perhaps they have been going the wrong way. See, since the turning of the century, that they have gone the wrong way. That they have tried to solve something on a level, and the patient reacts on a different level. And these levels don't meet. And so, here is the great crisis which they go through, which is the crisis in every other branch of science, that today every science finds out that that which matters is not matter, but the man, being. That up to now all the various sciences have concentrated and focused themselves just on one thing, matter and material laws. And finding out that man is quite a different proposition. That they have left out man out of their investigation. And that doesn't lead anywhere. And now they have to turn and see that man is the main thing. That they don't have to heal the symptoms of a body, but that they have to heal the man. That they have to heal the man of his inward untruth. That they have to heal the man of falling out of order. This new medicine of which I told you, la medicine de la personne, they take that wording, that phrasing, from Professor Joris, who said illness is falling out of order, and put it on a higher level and say illness is falling out of the divine order. Now, can we hear how they approach what we in Christian Science are beginning to see? That all what we have to see is that we align our consciousness with the divine order. And that if consciousness is aligned with the spirit, then it is a spiritual consciousness. And then spiritual consciousness, therefore, is that which is ruling not only our psyche, but also our body. And therefore, brings harmony. So, more and more, medical science tries to see that they have to deal with man and not with the body. But with dealing with man, they can see something big. Namely, that they can't anymore deal with man as the old concept of man. Just to deal man as what was one was considering to be man. Namely, a bit of body and a bit of blood and a bit of bones, and then a bit of soul in it, and a bit of breath in it, and a bit of emotion in it, and feelings in it, and so on. What they begin to see that because it is consciousness, therefore they ask for a new consciousness. They see that healing will be done then on a better plane when there is a mutation of consciousness. It's that great word which is coming more and more into use, mutation. Namely, that they see that the whole consciousness of mankind is still on a mortal level, and that a new mutation must take place which brings us right up to a divine spiritual consciousness. So, instead of asking for some more drugs and so on, they ask for a higher level of consciousness. Where can we find it? What is that higher plane of consciousness? What is man? What is the whole man? The question, what is man, arises more and more. Man is again put more and more into the center of everything. They want to heal in the future man and not the body. His inner untruth, his conscience, his bad conscience, and so on. What must this new man look like? Or what must be the form of this new man? And they begin to see the form of this new consciousness into which man has to mutate is the whole man. That man is integrated into the whole of being. And again, I touch on another term which is coming up in all fields of sciences, integration. We are reaching nearer and nearer towards the 7,000 year period of biblical history, where the tone will be on love, on unity of God and man, therefore where everything in the universe is converging more and more in consciousness towards a unity of man in God, integrating man's being into the divine being, so that not only man as a whole is an integral whole, has integrity, but then that integrity is not just his integrity, his truth, you see? Because they said sickness is living against his truth. It is showing that this integrity of man must even be integrated into the one being. That only then each man plays that part in the whole plan which is destined for him to play. So that no individual can decide what is his individual truth and his individual place and his individual mission. And you begin to feel, when one is considering these thinkers all over the world, that they all hear the key tone of divine science ringing in some measure. Namely, that key tone that man must be seen in its integrity as a spiritual identity. But that spiritual man is only then functioning harmoniously if we can be willing to adopt that new consciousness which is willing to integrate being, small b, into being, capital B. Really, these are the subjects that will be shown in the textbook, in the last four chapters of the textbook. It's all about that integrity in Christian Science teaching chapter, showing that man must find his integrity, in recapitulation shown what this integrity consists of as a compound idea, then in Genesis how this integrity of man is integrated into the one universal being, and then in the Apocalypse the crown of it, showing that being, small b and capital B, is one being and nothing more. The complete coincidence, not only correlation but coincidence of being, capital B, with being, small b. So the last four chapters of the textbook are really depicting the mission, the Aufgabe, the challenge of today, the what is to be solved, the problem of today to be solved. So God can no more be left out of medicine today. It could in the last century entirely, but 50 years later it can't be anymore. God can no more be left out, because God is spirit and God is the only reality, and spirit is that which rules the psyche, and the psyche is that which rules the body. So if we want to have a harmonious body, we really first have to have a understanding of God's spirit. This trend of modern medicine a trend away from matter to the spiritual is also seen today very, very much, especially after the Second World War, in this renewal in the churches of healing, of the healing mission of the churches. There is a revival of Christian healing going on openly, quietly, both in the Church of England, in America, in the Presbyterian Church, in the Lutheran Church in America, and in many others. It is as if what Mrs. Eddy had prophesied in Pulpit and Press some three quarters of a century ago would come into fulfillment when she wrote, "If the lives of Christian scientists attest their fidelity to truth, I predict that in the 20th century every Christian church in our land and a few in far-off lands will approximate the understanding of Christian science sufficiently to heal the sick in his name. Christ will give to Christianity his new name, and Christendom will be classified as Christian scientists." Well, I think one has to be a bit careful about this prediction insofar as to think it is coming to fulfillment, just because so many of the churches are taking up healing. Because we must still ask ourselves, is that healing which the churches all over the world, perhaps not all over the world, but mostly in the English-speaking countries, that those healings, church healings, Christian healings, are they really approximating Christian science when they heal? Or is it the slide back to the magic age, to the age of magic, which is very near to religion? Because magic and religion have one common denominator, namely the belief in a superior power. I bet it's a belief. And so I think we have to be careful not to think that because so many more churches are taking up spiritual healing, because whole libraries can now be filled with books on spiritual healing, that they are spiritual. They are just not material. I would call them not material healing, not physical healing, perhaps not material healing, but I don't think they are spiritual, because they rely on all sorts of beliefs and not on an understanding of God's Spirit. In that way, Christian science still stands unique. And so we mustn't be blinded yet to think that this prophecy is already showing its signs of fulfillment. It's approaching it, perhaps, because it is going away from material healing. But the going away from material healing doesn't yet say that it is approximating spiritual healing. It's just saying that it is not material. They diverge in doctrine very much, in the method very much, in its scope very much. These healings in the churches are either done in the churches themselves, or then combined with rituals, or combined with psychotherapists, or combined with some man that has a special gift for healing. You call it charisma? Charisma? It's a very strange name. Would you know, Johnny, what is called a special gift, healing gift? Charismatic healing, you see. Very much is charismatic healing, or is mostly a combination of praying, prayer and medical treatment, and so on.